Today on the Gary Zemeck Show, we'll talk about the importance of keeping holy the Lord's Day. Stay where you are because we begin now. Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zemeck. Glad to be here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio as we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. Today is a big day. It's a feast, and we will look at the Mass readings for this special day. We'll also talk about, in our continuing series of What Catholics Really Believe, we'll talk about the third commandment, keeping holy the Lord's Day. What exactly does that mean? How do we keep holy the Lord's Day? That's what's on tap for today's program. I hope you had a great weekend. Man, I'll tell you something. We had an interesting weekend. We had a rough weekend with the snow. I think we got 20-plus inches here where I live in southern New Jersey. But we're dug out. We were out. I was recording my monthly radio station program today. My monthly radio program today, Following the Truth, which appears on Holy Spirit Radio. We were able to head into the Philadelphia suburbs to record the program. We got out. It's funny. The most difficulty we had was with the streets right around the corner from our house. But thank God we were able to get out. We never lost power through the storm. The roads are relatively clean now, so we were really blessed. Man, I'll tell you what, some people really got slammed with the storm. I hope wherever you are, you're okay and the storm didn't affect you too badly. You know what? It's a reminder that no matter how much we like to try to be in charge of the things in our lives, ultimately, when things like this happen, when a storm like this takes place, we remember that it's God who is in charge, that there isn't too much that we can do about things like this. But fortunately, we made out okay, and we're very grateful that the Lord spared us and that we didn't have any real difficulties from the storm. But we have another week of the program to do here. We are, you know, I really can't believe this, but let's see, let me get my calendar out here. Today is January 25th. Next Monday is February 1st. The following Monday is February 8th. Now, bear with me. I know you're saying, okay, we get it. But that week, the week of February the 8th, begins Lent. Ash Wednesday is on February the 10th. Isn't that unbelievable? Man, I'll tell you what, that is hard to believe that it's that soon. We are just about ready to begin the Lenten season. Lent is a time when we grow closer to the Lord, and when we try to grow closer to the Lord, and when we try to turn away from sin and do what God wants us to do, or try to do what He wants us to do a little bit more. And that's going to be happening February the 10th. We will, God willing, as I always like to say, kick off our Lenten radio retreat. It all begins on that day. We'll be using Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus. If you haven't gotten a copy, you can do so by visiting dynamiccatholic.com, and you can order your free copy of the book, so we'll be all set for February the 10th. Now, you know, when I like to say that the Holy Spirit is my program director, and He really is, because so many times I'll have one idea in mind, and I get taken in a different direction. And I had no intention to mention this, but prior to the show, I don't know if you could tell, I'm a little distracted today. I ran into some difficult news. You've heard me say on this, so I've decided I'm going to share this with you, because I know you're a listener to this program, you care about what I do, you believe in the work that I do, you need to hear this. I've been talking about donations are down, and I'm struggling with my full-time ministry, and I've been requesting for donations. You've been helping me. You've been purchasing Mystic Monk Coffee. You've been using my Amazon store. You've been making donations, and it is very much appreciated. But I'm at a point now with my full-time ministry, and I share this with you. I'm not going to put it all over the internet, but right now I'm going to share it with you because I know you care. Financially, I really have my back against the wall right now. And to be totally honest, if something doesn't happen soon financially, and, you know, I earn my living through a combination of speaking engagements, donations, book sales, and book sales really is a minor part of what I do. And if something doesn't happen soon, there is a chance that this program might be going away and my full-time ministry might be going away within a very short period of time. I'm going to tell this to you straight. I would ask that you pray for me, that you would pray that the Lord's will be done. You know, I've been doing full-time ministry for 4 years, and the Lord has really blessed my family and I. He's let us really do some great things with He's done all the work. He's just using me, and we've been able to reach some people. We've been able to share the good news on a very, very large scale, a lot larger than I would have thought possible. But I'm going to ask for your prayers tonight. And obviously the need for donations is, it's become a critical need. It has gotten to the point where it's very serious. So, with that in mind, we're going to keep going as long as I can. But for right now, please pray for discernment, pray for the success of my work, and pray that that somehow the donations or the income that I need to keep going will materialize. But in the meantime, we've got a show to do today. And again, I had no intention of mentioning that to you, but I just felt moved to let you know where we stand, so that one day this show isn't around anymore and you're not surprised. Because I owe it to you. You've been with me for a while, I'm sure. I know I have some listeners that have been with me from the beginning. I've been doing this show for 5 years. I started this show even before I went into full-time ministry. And some of you have been with me for a long time, so I need to tell you this. I need to tell you that it's become a critical situation. So please pray for me and the work that I do. And God's will be done, whatever the Lord wants. I totally believe that if He wants my work to continue, that somehow this hole that I'm in is going to get fixed. I'm not really sure how that's going to happen, but He's God. He can do miracles. I totally believe that. And I believe that if it's His will for me to continue, that it will happen. Okay? But I need your prayers. Thank you so much. And rest assured, you're always in my prayers. Sorry to hit you with that, but I thought you needed to know. Before we go into the looking at the Mass readings, we're going to pray. I also want to let you know that I still would like to come out to speak at your parish or your conference. So if you'd like to bring me in, just please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. For more information, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I'm not sure when this will happen. I hope by tomorrow, or maybe sometime very soon, I hope to be able to have some good quality video footage of one of my talks up on my website. That's in the process of happening right now. I'm not sure exactly when it will happen. I'm hoping it will be happening tomorrow. So I'll keep you posted when and if that takes place. But I hope to be able to have that up for you. So this will give you a good idea of what one of my talks is like in case you might have any questions. So stay tuned for that. And again, if you have any questions about any of these things that I discuss, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get right on with the readings for today, which is the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to have another day. We're very grateful for the fact that you love us enough, that you've given us another day. Father, we seek to know you better, we seek to love you more, we seek to serve you in any way that you need us to. Please continue to guide us and give us the wisdom that we need to always do your will. Help us to be able to put aside our own feelings, our own desires, and to rather always choose what you want us to do. Father, we ask you to be with those who are sick, to help them, to heal them, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with addiction, and as well as those who are struggling financially and those who are dealing with weather-related problems. We ask you to help them, grant them your comfort and your peace as they struggle. Father, I give this program to you. I give all of my work to you. I ask you to bless it. I ask you to speak through me. I ask you to open our minds and our hearts to be able to hear the message that you have for us. Father, I ask you to provide for all of our needs, because so many of us have needs. We have financial needs. We have spiritual needs. And we turn to you, and your Son Jesus told us to ask, and we shall receive. So we do that today. We ask, and we know that we'll receive, maybe not exactly what we want, but we will receive what is best for us. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Paul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks for praying. I hope you feel better. I hope you realize that the Lord is going to always be there for you, no matter what he sends, no matter what crisis, no matter what burden he sends, he is always there for you. I believe that with all my heart, and I hope you believe it as well. Sometimes we walk through the dark valley. Sometimes we don't know why certain things happen in our lives, but you need to believe that it's because God loves you, and he will never, ever let anything happen to you that would be harmful for you. But we have to look at the big picture, and the big picture involves our spiritual life. And sometimes we don't see that. I know I don't see that because I'm human, and I have certain things that I want. I have my own desires, and I have a limited vision when it comes to what I really need. If something involves suffering, well, then I'm probably going to turn away from it because that's my nature. But sometimes the Lord has to send suffering. Sometimes he has to send difficulties into all of our lives. And I want you to believe that, because I totally believe it with all my heart, that no matter what happens, it's for the best somehow. And we might not see it until we meet him one day face to face. We might never understand. But just always keep praying and asking the Lord to guide you as you go through life. So it's good to pray. The Lord wants us to pray. We need to speak to him every day, whether we feel like it or not. And I think that's a big thing for us to remember. I woke up today. I was a little off. My stomach wasn't feeling right. My head was achy. And I just get this way sometimes. I was a little discouraged. It happens. But we need to still drag ourselves up. We need to drag ourselves out of bed. And we need to turn to him. And start our day by being thankful. And it's something we can do, whether or not we feel like it or not. You know, sometimes we're not going to feel like it, but we can still be thankful. No matter what, every one of us is alive today. God has us here for a reason. He has us here for a purpose. It might not be the most pleasant experience in the world. You might be struggling. I know for a fact that when I talk to people who listen to this program, I know that many people are struggling with some really serious problems. But we have to remember that the Lord is there for us, and he's allowing things to happen for a reason. Even if it's difficult, keep on keeping on. We're going to get through this together, one day at a time, no matter what it is we're suffering from. The conversion of St. Paul the Apostle, that's the feast we celebrate today. Now, St. Paul, we ordinarily don't think of him as an apostle, but St. Paul was an apostle. He talks about that in some of his letters, that he was selected to be an apostle by Jesus himself, even though Jesus had already risen from the dead. So let's look at these and already ascended into heaven at this point. And he chose Paul on the road to Damascus, and he chose him and called him to become an apostle, to become the apostle to the Gentiles. And this feast serves as a reminder that you and I are called to spread the good news. People need to hear about Jesus. People need to hear that Jesus is real. People need to know that Jesus loves them, and that with Jesus, all things are possible. And I'm going to need you to help me to do that. Because you listen to the show, you realize that I believe that. You realize that by being in full-time ministry, I believe that people need to hear about Jesus. But no matter what happens to my full-time ministry, and you know, it's going to end one day. One day I'm going to depart from this life. It's just a fact, and I get that. No matter what happens to me, whether I'm here or not, you need to go and remember that you need to share Jesus with other people. people around you, the people at work, the people in your house, they need to know that Jesus loves them, and they need to know that Jesus wants to be involved in their lives. Because I'll tell you what, there are so many people in the world that don't know that. They don't know that Christ is real. They don't know that we can have a personal relationship with him. And they don't know that it is relatively easy to do that. So you know that, and you need to tell them. We're all called to be apostles, to share the good news. Maybe not necessarily on the radio, but we're all called to do it. And let's do that together. Let's share the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a further reminder, I have a book coming out in a few weeks, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. That book was written based upon my own personal experience with trying to get to know Jesus better. It is possible, it is doable, and it is something that every one of us can achieve in our lives. Let's continue to seek Christ out. That's one of my big goals this year. I want to get to know him better. I want to follow him wherever he takes me. Sometimes he might not take me to a pleasant place, but it doesn't matter. I still want to go there because I need to go where Jesus goes. Let's take a look at these mass readings today from Monday, January 25th, the conversion of St. Paul. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, and Paul details three times in the Acts of the Apostles how he encountered Jesus, how he had this encounter with Jesus. This is one of the times where he tells the story. So it's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verses 3 through 16. Paul addressed the people in these words, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated strictly in our ancestral law, and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way, the way to death, or this way to death, binding both men and women and delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I even received letters to the brothers and set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those there as well. On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I replied, 'Who are you, sir?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.' My companions saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. I asked, 'What shall I do, sir?' The Lord answered me, 'Get up and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told about everything appointed for you to do.' Since I could see nothing because of the brightness of that light, I was led by hand by my companions and entered Damascus. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law, and highly spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood there and said, 'Saul, my brother, regain your sight.' And at that very moment I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors designated you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the sound of his voice. For you will be his witness before all to what you have seen and heard. Now why delay? Get up and have yourself baptized and your sins washed away, calling upon his name.'" This is a great story. Isn't this a great story? Now, there was one thing. I try not to interrupt the scripture passages as I'm reading them, but Paul refers to the fact that he persecuted this way to death, and way is capitalized. The way is Christianity, in a sense. That's what he's persecuting. He's persecuting Christians. The movement of the followers of Christ at this time were called the Way. And he was seeking out Christians and trying to imprison them because he believed that he was doing the right thing. And what happened on the journey as he was drawing near to Damascus, a great light from the sky shone around him. He fell to the ground and he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, at this point, it's very obvious that Paul does not know Jesus. He never met him. And the reason we know that is because of the fact that Paul said, "Who are you, sir?" And then Jesus responded, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting." And this really, well, let me continue. Paul says his companions saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. And Paul asked the voice, who was Jesus, "What shall I do, sir?" Now, there is a great example of someone who is discerning. Paul is going about his business, doing what he thinks is right. Now, obviously, what he was doing wasn't very good, but he was persecuting Christians. Paul was a Pharisee, and he thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought that by persecuting these Christians, these people who followed this blasphemer, Jesus Christ, he was doing the right thing. He encounters Christ, and then the power of this encounter makes Paul say, "Who are you, sir? And what shall I do? What do you want me to do, Lord?" That is a question that all of us should be asking every day. And the Lord told him, and here's some biblical evidence for the fact that if you're not sure what God wants you to do, you should ask for help. And the Lord said, "Go into Damascus, and there you'll be told about everything appointed for you to do." And what you'll notice here is Paul isn't given the full step-by-step picture up front. He's given one step. He's told, "Go into Damascus, and you'll be told what to do." This is the way that the Lord works with us. And this is what I am discovering in my own life, that he doesn't give us every step along the way. He gives us the current step. And if we turn to him and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" You're going to get today's mission. You might get a general idea of what might lie ahead, but it's still not what's going to happen for the rest of your life. That's not how he works. He wants us to trust him and to give us step by step what we need. So then Paul goes in to Damascus, and he meets Ananias, who tells him what to do. First of all, he was able to give him his sight back, and then at that point, he told him to get up, have yourself baptized, and your sins washed away, calling upon his name. That was the first step, and we know that Paul would eventually be called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to spread the good news to the Gentile people. That is a great message. So today, I would say, you should ask the Lord, and I'm going to do it too, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What shall I do, sir? What's my goal? What do you want me to do, Lord? Because I want what you want." The responsorial psalm gives us a general message that all of us as Christians have to hear. "Go out to all the world and tell the good news." That's from Psalm 117. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness toward us. And the fidelity of the Lord endures forever." Go out to all the world and tell the good news. That's one thing that you and I need to do. That's a message that applies to all of us. We might do it in different ways. We might just be doing it in our homes. That's a big deal. That's very important. We might be sharing Christ in our homes. That's what you need to do. That's a start. You might be doing it at the workplace. You might be doing it at the supermarket just by being nice to people. This is how we share Jesus. The gospel today is Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." That's the message. You and I are to share the good news of Jesus Christ in any way that we can. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand up on a stage, but start by living like Jesus. Start by being kind to one another. That's challenging. That's challenging right there. But that's how it starts. It starts with the smile. It starts by being friendly. It starts by being helpful. And in that way, you enable people to see Christ in you. And what happens? That opens the door and you can begin to evangelize. All right, let's take a look at the third commandment, because on Mondays we look at what Catholics really believe. We're walking through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Specifically, I'm using a book called The Compendium of the Catechism, which is a question and answer breakdown of the material in the Catechism. And it works really nice for the purposes of this show. Question number 450. Remember, we're talking about the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. Why did God bless the Sabbath day and declare it sacred? God did so because on the Sabbath day, one remembers God's rest on the seventh day of creation, and also the liberation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and the covenant which God sealed with his people. How did Jesus act in regard to the Sabbath? Jesus recognized the holiness of the Sabbath and the Sabbath day, and with divine authority, he gave this law its authentic interpretation. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this is how Jesus reacted in regard to the Sabbath. For what reason has the Sabbath been changed to Sunday for Christians? The reason is because Sunday is the day of the resurrection of Christ. Now, that's a very simple answer, but I'm not going to go into any more detail about that because we're running a little short on time. But that's why we now celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. Now, here's a question you may be wondering. How exactly does one keep Sunday holy? Christians keep Sunday and other days of obligation holy by participating in the Eucharist of the Lord and by refraining from those activities which impede the worship of God and disturb the joy proper to the day of the Lord, or the necessary relaxation of mind and body. Activities are allowed on the Sabbath, which are bound up with family needs or with important social service, provided they do not lead to habits prejudicial to the holiness of Sunday, to family life, and to health. Here's what we need to remember. Some people do need to work on Sunday, and it's wonderful that we have doctors and nurses and other professionals that do need to work on Sunday. Priests need to work on Sunday. So some people do need to work on Sunday. What we should try to do, what we're really commanded to do in this commandment, is to keep the day holy, to not participate in those activities which will get in the way of our family life or will somehow get in the way of our relationship with the Lord and the obligations that we owe him. We don't ever want to lose sight of that fact. We want to make sure that we always continue to do the Lord's, to honor the Lord through Mass and whatever else we can do by spending time with our family to do a little spiritual reading maybe. These are special things that we can do on Sunday. And we don't want to go out of our way to do a lot of work that's going to take us away from the Lord. Why is the civil recognition of Sunday as a feast day important? It is important so that all might be given the real possibility of enjoying sufficient rest and leisure to take care of their religious, familial, cultural, and social lives. It's also important to have an opportune time for meditation, for reflection, for silence, for study, and for time to dedicate to good works, particularly for the sick and the elderly. So we need to keep holy the day of the Lord, which is the Sabbath, which is now celebrated on Sunday. Okay? Sound good? Now listen, if you have any questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. One more time before I leave you today, I'm just going to throw it out there and let you know that I am facing a bit of a financial, not a bit of a financial crisis, a pretty serious financial crisis right now. If you are able to help me, number one, I need your prayers to keep my full-time ministry going. It's at the critical stage right now. If you're able to help me with a donation, I'd be very grateful. I do not want you to put yourself in any jeopardy, but if you're able to do so, I can use the largest amount that you're able to give. Pray about it. But more importantly, the thing you need to do is to pray for me if you believe in my work, if you want it to continue. If you would like to make a donation, you can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com, going to the Donate tab, and securely donating by PayPal. And that's, I put it out there because I know you've helped me. You've bailed me out so many times. And I'm very, very grateful for your support. You are in my prayers. You're fantastic. I love being here. And God willing, I'm going to keep being here. We're going to just leave it up in the Lord's hands and see what he wants me to do, just like Paul did today. Right? Sound good? Now listen, God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me. We'll be talking about imitating Christ on the program. I'll see you then. Have a wonderful night. Remember, I'll be praying for you. And also remember, we're still going to keep looking forward to February the 10th when we begin our Lenten radio retreat right here on this program. Have yourself a wonderful night. God bless you, and thank you for listening.